was thinking while Brother Todd was singing that song. There's an old song Brother Wayne Ball used to sing in our church. He's in heaven now. And he sang an old song that said, "Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. But thanks to Calvary, I don't go the places where I used to go." Amen. He said his little boy would run, hide behind the door. He said, "Son, you've got a new daddy now." Hallelujah. Calvary will make a difference. Amen. Sing a little bit more of that, Brother Todd. That's good. Amen. Thank God.
Every now and then, an old friend of mine that I haven't seen for a while.
Listen now.
He wanders by and he asks me,
"How you doing?
How you doing? What's on your mind?" He wonders why I'm not drinking or painting the whole town red. But I tell him I'm serving Jesus now, and the old man is dead. I used to live such a wicked life. I had no hope inside, wandering around in the darkness.
Listen. Trying to find a little light.
Trying to find a little light. But then one night at a little church,
hallelujah,
after hearing what the preacher said, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and now the old man is dead. And the man you see before you, I may look a lot the same. Sure, I'm still wearing some of the same old clothes, and I've got the same old name, but you're still looking on the outside. Oh, if you could see inside. See that I'm a brand new man, and the old man is dead. You would see that I'm a brand new man, and the old man is dead."
Thank you, Brother Todd. Love that old song, amen. Amen, brother, thank God. He means that too, amen. It used to be a big joke around here. Brother Freddie used to carry his old driver's license around from before he got saved. And I know sometimes, I remember the first time, I forgot who it was, but years ago, first time somebody in the church saw me, it's one of the young people, saw me in casual clothes, blue jeans and t-shirt and a cap, you know, that's normally me on a daily basis, and she didn't know who I was. She said, "Man, you don't look the same." And boy, that just rung in my ear. I thought, thank God, amen. Thank God, I don't look the same. Brother Freddie, all you know is a great Sunday school teacher and the person that cares about you and loves you and he'll preach to you, amen. But he used to be a disco kind of guy. I'm talking about parachute pants and all that. Played in a rock band. Had fuzzy hair. All looked like Cousin Ed, amen. I'm telling you, Lord done a work, man. Them people he used to run around with, when they see him now, they go, "Wow, man, what happened to you?" That's one of the greatest opportunities in the world, when somebody you see from your past says, "Hey, what's going on with you now?" Amen. Then you get an opportunity to tell them, amen. What a blessing. Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter number 17. Wonder how long it's been since somebody walked up to you and said, whoa, what happened to you? Well, something's different about you. Amen. Thank God. I remember several years ago, a dear friend of mine that I ran around with, he was dating or seeing a woman live next door to me. And I was out cutting grass, and he pulled up and had a beer in his hand. He's standing there talking. He said, what in H-E-double-L you up to lately? I said, preaching. I'll never forget it. I won't say his name, but his initials are Stacy Bullock, amen. Let me tell you something. That's not my favorite part of the story. My favorite part of the story is he's sitting here tonight. Amen. Drinking from the same fountain I am. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, man, I don't even know if I want to go the way I was going now. I'm telling you. Proverbs chapter number 18. Turn me up just a tad, Brother James. Proverbs chapter number 17. I'm sorry, did I say 18? I meant 17. Turn where I meant and not what I said. Amen. Read my mind. We quote this verse of Scripture all the time. But I want to look at it a little bit more in depth tonight. Proverbs chapter 17, I said it again, and verse number 22. Proverbs 17 and verse number 22. The Bible said, a merry heart doeth good like a what?
Medicine,
but a broken spirit drieth the bones. The Bible said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Stay with me just for a minute tonight. How many of you know laughing makes you feel better? That is the reason 90% of what is on television are called sitcoms. The reason America has accepted homosexuality is they made us laugh at it first. I'm right about it. Amen. Laughter will change your mood. Laughter creates something inside you, in your brain, chemically. Would you agree with that? I don't care how bad a mood you can be in, somebody can do something stupid or hilarious. I love to see people get hurt. That's sick, ain't it? I love to see somebody step on a rake, you know, whop. I'll roll for 30 minutes, as long as it ain't me that done it, amen? I like to see stuff like that, amen. You ever watch that thing on TV, them dumb, I forgot what they call it, them dumb videos, people doing stupid stuff like jumping bicycles off of top of houses and landing in bad ways. I love that stuff, man. I just laugh like I hurt at their expense, hallelujah. But a merry heart doth do good like a medicine. I was with Cousin Shiny. How many of you know who Cousin Shiny is? Cousin Shiny's getting right popular. He's traveling as much as his preacher, amen. But Shiny is a character in skits where our kids go to youth rally up in Marion, North Carolina at Brother Tony Shirley's church. And people in other youth groups are wanting help with their skits and things like that. So they had me and Shiny do the skit for the youth rally this weekend down in Florida. Now, Shiny's got a little thing that he does. He did it when he was here at our youth rally. He come up on the platform and he greets Brother Tony and he says, wait a minute, I got to take some medicine. Y'all remember that? And Brother Shiny just gets knee slapping. Tony says, what are you doing? He said, I'm taking medicine. He said, what do you mean you're taking medicine? He said, the Bible said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. Medicine is designed to make you feel better. We were in Pensacola, Florida this week, and Shiny did the taking the medicine thing. Now listen, the thing about Florida is nobody who lives there is from there. You got to understand that when you're in Florida, you're not preaching to Southerners. You're preaching to Yankees. I think half of New York broke off and floated down and attached itself. Amen. Most of them are snowbirds. They're from the north, migrated down there to the south, and they're a little bit, I mean, great, great people, just a little bit tighter, maybe. And Shiny, and they don't know how to take Shiny. I mean, they just don't know. They don't know how to take Shiny whatsoever. And Shiny starts taking that medicine, and he's trying to get them to take some medicine. Brother Shiny looked at me and said, Brother Eddie, what's the matter with these people? I said, looks like they're off their meds. You ever heard that term? You hear it a lot in a mental institute. Amen. People start cracking up and acting strange and weird. The first thing they want to know, have you quit taking your medicine? Am I right about it? You see, we know when you're off your meds. If you're on medication for some kind of mental illness, we know when you're not taking it. You let a mental patient get off their meds, and you know what will happen? Their countenance will change. Come on, y'all, talk to me. It'll be all right, Brother Richard. Hang on. Their countenance will change. This thing's not aimed at you, brother. I promise. Their countenance will change. The way they look will change. The way they talk will change. The way they walk will change. The way they act will change. And it's all because that medicine that is designed to keep them on an even keel, it's off. And sometimes when they come off their meds, they're so messed up, they wind up taking their own life and blowing their brains out. I had a preacher friend of mine. His name was Buster Seaton. He was a great, great preacher. I don't know if you ever hear Brother Buster. I'm talking about a preaching machine. Didn't nobody know it, but Buster was what they call bipolar. I don't know what that means. I thought it was a bisexual polar bear. I didn't know until I found out. Brother Buster was bipolar. And that wasn't right. Get over the polar bear. The doctors changed Brother Buster's medicine. Y'all calm down. The doctors changed his medicine. It wasn't that funny. Y'all getting off your meds. Hang on. All right, y'all done? They changed Brother Buster's medication. When you change medicine, it's dangerous. I'm going to make a spiritual aspect out of this in just a minute. Brother Buster, at the supper table, eating with his family, got up from the table, went into the bedroom, closed the door, laid down in the bathtub, and took his life. What happened? Got his meds messed up. I'm not talking about physical medication tonight. I'm talking about spiritual medication tonight. I believe some of God's people are off their meds. I believe God has a prescription for every area and every aspect of our life. Every prescription is found. It's a written prescription. The doctor has to give it. Come on, somebody talk to me. The Bible said there is a balm and Gilead. Do you know what that balm is? A balm is like a salve, an ointment. It's Jesus Christ. Amen? He is still the answer for all your problems. Amen? He give you meds for your attitude. He give you meds for your finance. He gave you meds for your bitterness and your anger. Let me tell you, He gave you meds for raising your children. He gave you medication for your marriage. And it's apparent that some people are off their meds. How do you know? You don't look the same. Yeah. Amen. You don't look the same. That happy countenance is gone. Amen. Amen. You don't have to ask somebody how they're doing, really. You can just be around them a minute. Amen. I don't have to ask my wife if something's wrong. Do you, men? When something's wrong, do you even have to ask the question? I've got to where I don't say, is something wrong? I just say, okay, what is it? Amen. Come on, talk to me. You can tell when something's not right. And when you've got men in this church like me and Brother Freddie and Brother Charles who love you and care for you, it doesn't take us long just to look in your eyeballs and go, something is missing. Amen. Something is not right. There is a glow that used to be there that is gone. There's a smile that used to be there that has disappeared. There was a tenderness and a kindness that used to be there that has disappeared. Something's wrong. Maybe it's just that we are off our meds tonight. And we just need to get back on track. Would you agree to that? Amen. I believe if we'd stay on our meds, our spiritual meds, we wouldn't have no church split. As long as we stay in this book right here. Woo! Some of them are trying to change medication. Boy, that's dangerous right there. Amen. The devil says, hey, church, want to try you on this new medication. That KJV, it's a little outdated. Won't you try this NIV? Won't you try this RSV? Y'all okay? Why don't you try this NKJV? Why don't you try this MICKEYMOUSC? That's about how silly it's gotten, amen? Hey, brother, look here. As long as I've been taking this, it's been working fine. He said again, long as I stay on this, it does the job. Why change? Amen. What happens is things go sideways and things ain't working and we don't have the guts and the stamina to realize, to admit that, hey, it's not everything else that's wrong. It's me that's wrong. I'm not in my Bible. I'm not praying. I don't need a new Bible. I need to read the one of God. Amen. You walk in the average Christian bookstore, if you can really call them that. I'd love to see a real Christian bookstore in this town. That's my dream. I have coveted, and I know that's a sin, but I have, that empty Blockbuster store down yonder. Boy, I'm telling you what a Christian bookstore I'd make. But if one of our members had the money and the backing to do that, and I caught you selling phony Bibles in there, we'd deal with you harshly. Y'all okay? We ain't selling generics around here. It's the real thing or nothing. Why are you so dogmatic about it? I see what happens when people get off their meds. Amen. I see what happens. Don't blame it on the old book. You go in that average Christian bookstore. Brother Stacy did. He was working in Tennessee. Was it? Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Just had got right with God, started back to church, tender. Been saved a long time, but he wasn't where he needed to be with the Lord. Walks in a Christian bookstore, going to buy him a Bible. First thing they try to do is steer him away from that old King James Bible. You can't understand that. It's archaic. Them idiots don't even know what the word archaic means. Thank God he had sense enough to pick up his phone and call me and say, hey, call me from the bookstore. Standing there in front of the woman, said, this woman's trying to sell me this and that. I said, don't touch it. Matter of fact, wait till I get home, I'll help you. He said, well, what can I look for? And I told him. And he had me on the phone telling her, you got one of these? And he got the right Bible. But she was trying to sell him some phony meds, amen? We okay tonight? This world's trying to change our medication when what we got is just fine. What we got, there's not a sinner, there's not a soul that this old Bible won't help. But you can have the cure for AIDS, and as long as it stays in the bottle, people will die. You understand that? Katie, our baby, she's in here somewhere. She gets, nursery, yes. She gets horrible headaches. And I can tell her eyes get puffed up, and I say, honey, what's the matter? She inherited this junk from her daddy. I say, honey, what's wrong with you? She said, my head is killing me. I said, well, have you taken any Advil? No. Well, got the medication in the cabinet. I mean, it's right there. Somebody has went to the effort to make it available for you. Somebody has paid the price to make sure you have the medication you need. Now it's your job to take the medication. It's not going to reach your brain by osmosis. Is that the right word? It's not just going to seep in through the bottle telekinetically. You've got to physically open the bottle, put the pills in your hand, throw it in your mouth, chase it down with some water. You've got to take the medicine. Amen. We've got so many Christians who aren't taking the medicine. It's laying by your bed. It's laying by your bed. And you're worried, how am I going to make this work? How am I going to fix this? How am I going to fix that? The medicine's right there. It's that close. Amen. We need to be taking our medicine. Y'all remember last year when I got so sick? Never had it, I don't think, since I was a baby. Mom ain't here. I had strep throat. Had it this year. I about walked in this emergency thing down here at Mirror Lake, and I walked in, that doctor looked at my mouth, she said, bend over. I said, that ain't the end I'm having trouble with. She said, I'm going to stick the cure down there, amen? And she loaded up a shot, felt like it was about that big. I thought I was a cow, brother. She coming at me with that thing, she said, this is going to hurt. Now, she didn't make no bones about it. I mean, that thing had a needle that looked like it was that big around. It's some kind of antibiotic. She said, pills ain't going to take care of this. You need a shot. I may never get this message. Hey, some of you, you need a shot. Amen. She said, what this is going to do, it's going to give a punch to the medication. Y'all all right? She said, it's going to give a punch to the medication. She bent me over and loaded me up with that stuff. I could feel it going into my veins, brother. It hurt, but it is worth it. That's like hard preaching. You don't like it. It hurts. I'd rather have the grape tasting stuff. Amen. I'd rather have the children's aspirin you can just chew up and swallow. Oh, that's fine and good, but it don't do you a whole lot of good. Amen. Sometimes preaching is just a good shot in the arm. Sometimes preaching is just a good shot to get your meds, to help back up your meds and get them working again. Amen. That's what I'm trying to do tonight, is give you a shot to help you get back on your medication, get back to where your smile's where it used to be, get back where your joy used to be. Amen. And then she gave me a prescription. She wrote it out, signed her name. She said, you go across here to the Walgreens or whatever that is down there. She said, I'm going to give you this. She said, I'm going to promise you this shot's going to have you feeling better by tomorrow. Now stay with me, and we'll get to some more scriptures. She said, you're going to feel better tomorrow because of the shot, but you ain't going to be better. She said, it's going to take time to kill the bacteria that is in your body. She said, now this medication that I'm giving you, this round of antibiotics, she said, it's going to last for 10 days. She said, and you do not stop till you have swallowed every pill in the bottle. I said, well, what if I'm well by the middle of the week? She said, you listen to me. I'll have you back in here if you don't finish the medicine.
That's right.
Amen. 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 What we want is a shot and a quick fix. Woo, okay, I feel better. And go right back to the same old junk tomorrow that got us sick to the start with. We go right back to what infected us to begin with.
Amen.
Amen. We need to take all our pills.
Amen.
We okay? Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 13. We'll stay pretty much right here in this book tonight. Proverbs change your life if you'd read it. It's got medicine on every page. Amen. How many of you read a proverb a day? That's why you're sick. There's a reason for your sickness. Do you know if you'll read one chapter of Proverbs a day, you'll read it through every month? And you know by the time you do that for a few years, you about know it. And it'll blow your mind how many times them things will pop up in your head.
Yeah.
Every time you start to get mad. Come on.
Yeah.
Y'all okay? For this thing to do any good, you have to get it in you.
That's right, bro.
Listen, holding it like this, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, carrying it to church, I wonder how many of them actually even make it out of the car. Some of them don't even make it out of the book rack on the back of the pew. You got to ingest it. It's got to get in you. This is a goody powder for the soul. Isn't it amazing all this stuff they've come up with? Advil, Tylenol, you name all these kind of stuff. Man, them old goody powders still do the job. Amen. You swallow a goody powder, if you can handle it, buddy, it'll knock a headache out. Amen. Amen. Anyhow, Proverbs chapter 15. Listen, we have medicine for a sad countenance. Did you know God can still turn a frown upside down? The Bible said a merry heart, Proverbs 15, 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Let's look at it again. A merry heart maketh a what? Cheerful countenance. Listen, I remember before the choir quit singing, before we lost our choir director, I constantly stayed on the choir. Smile.
Yeah, right.
You're the first thing people see when they walk in the door. And you're singing like this. Rah, 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 rah. It looks like you're killing you.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm telling you, a merry heart will change the way your face looks.
Amen.
Talk to me.
Amen.
You men know when your wife's happy and when she ain't. You ain't got to ask her. Same way with you men. They know too. They can tell by the tune you're singing when you come in from work. Y'all all right? I'm telling you, if we'll take our medicine, we might smile a little bit more. We might be a little bit happier people. Amen. I'm dead on that. We ought to be happy. Are you happy tonight? I'm tickled pink. I surely am. I'm a happy man. Why? Because of what the Lord's done. I'm on my meds. Amen. I'm taking the medicine like I ought to. And I don't know how it works, but it does. It does. It really does. It works. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Back up just a little bit. You probably beat me there. Proverbs chapter 14. Look at verse number 21. Can y'all handle some scripture tonight? Oh, here we go. He that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that have mercy on the poor, happy is he. That's medicine, ain't it? He's telling you how to be happy. Be good to people. Be good to people. It's hard to be good to people when you ain't happy. When you ain't happy, you won't be good to people. Amen. Look at, look at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse number 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, watch this, happy is he. Some of you in the shape you're in because you ain't handling things right. You say, well, I don't know how to handle a matter wisely. There's more medicine for that too. Amen. There's medicine for that too. Read this book of Proverbs every day. It'll help you in every one of those areas. I'm just saying, brother, if you get that merry heart, it does good like a medicine. It'll change the way you react and interact with people. Amen. I know some people who don't have a merry heart. I know some who have reason. There's three little old boys put their mama in the ground this afternoon. They ain't got a merry heart. There's a time for mourning. But some of us don't have a merry heart tonight, and we ain't got a reason. No excuse. There ought to be joy where there's bitterness and sorrow. Amen. I promise you, you're not taking your medicine. There's medicine for a cheerful countenance. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. There's medicine for a ceasing of greediness. We live in a world full of greedy people, don't we? Ain't nobody happy with what they got. They ain't nobody happy with what they got. One of my dearest friends lives down in Panama City, Brother Norman Bush. He'll come here a couple of times a year. He drove all the way up here from my daddy's funeral. Called me and said, you want me to bring some limos? I said, no, we're just going across the road. I mean, do anything in the world for me. If you went to Norman's house, you would think that he was probably not poverty, but you wouldn't think he was a wealthy man. Got more money than he's got sense. I'm serious, heart attack. I'm talking about really, really, really. Sold a piece of property he had $25,000 in. Rented the property out for years. It's paid for itself over and over. Sold it to a man last year for $950,000. That's the kind of stuff he's in. But you walk in his house, we go on vacation, we stay down there. He lives by himself and got four bedrooms and got a guest house out back and all that stuff. We go down there and just crash him. Norman, we're on our way. We go in and his furniture's old. His carpet's worn. Ashley says, Daddy, why don't he fix this place up? I said, it's simple. He don't care. He's happy with it just like it is. You see, honey, he's not trying to impress you. He don't care if you like his house or not. He don't care. He's a millionaire. I sucker walk in the finest restaurant in Panama City in bare feet. If y'all know him, y'all know that's the truth. He's content. He's content. You say, well, how'd he get all that money? Well, the Lord just blessed him. That's all there is to it. You don't run into many content people. I wonder how many of us could honestly say in our heart tonight, I'm content. If I don't ever get anything else, I'm happy with what I got. Boy, that's something that needs work, ain't it? Bro, I'm preaching to me right here tonight. I want everything I see. Every Harley Davidson goes down the road. Boy, I'd like to have that. Man at the funeral home the other day wanted me to come by and see his quarter horse. Oh, I took a picture of my phone. I showed it to my wife. She said, no. She said, you don't ride the one that got. I said, no, I just want to look at it. Amen. I want everything I see. God, I need help with that. What I need to do? Take some medicine. Take some medicine. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 7. The Bible said, there is that maketh himself rich yet hath nothing. How many people you know like that? You say, what does that mean? Oh, they got money, but they ain't happy. They ain't got nothing. Oh, they got substance. That's all they got. They ain't got nothing in here. That crowd in Hollywood, man, look at that crazy heifer. What's her name? Lindsay Lohan. Y'all know who I'm talking about? I mean, brother, she is a freakazoid. She is, man. That is one messed up individual. I ain't even going to go into all the junk she done. You'd think with all that money, that'd buy all her happiness, wouldn't you? You know what's wrong with her? She ain't got nothing. She ain't got nothing. Amen. Britney Spears in the news more than the weather. Trashiest thing ever walked. Y'all listen, used to be on the Mickey Mouse Club. Started out a little clean, cute, wholesome girl. Got all that money. You ought to have everything you want. That's something money can't buy. There's something down in here money can't buy. I don't care how much money you got. You can't buy it. They ain't got they ain't got it at Walmart. They ain't got it at the mall. Dillard's ain't got it. Macy's ain't got it. Are you listening? Rich's ain't got it. Sears ain't got it. J.C. Penney ain't got it. You can't get it. No, you can't even get it on the internet.
Amen.
I'm talking about peace and happiness. Oh, stuff make you feel good for a little while. My stepsister Tammy, her husband just got a brand new Z71 four-wheel drive truck, leather interior. They was lined up at the funeral home a while ago. I said, let me stick my head in there and just, y'all like to do that? Woo, hallelujah. That's just, they invent that smell. They manufactured that somehow. They did a study, figured out exactly what'll suck a man into a commitment he can't make. I'm serious. You look at it and think, oh, that's pretty. Stick your head in the door. How much is it? I stuck my head in there and smelled that brand new leather interior. I said, oh, man. I said, do you like it? He said, I did. Well, I got that payment book in the mail. Amen. All that stuff wears off, man. Michael Jackson spent his entire life trying to build happiness. He had everything. Had his own amusement park. Can you imagine that? Had monkeys and all kind of animals and all kind of stuff. He thought being black was his problem, so he tried to be white. Took a handful of pills every night to go to bed. Took a handful of pills every morning to get up.
Come on, preacher. Amen. Amen, brother.
He could only operate under the influence of chemicals. What happened? There was something in here that the money could not buy. He looked around at all that stuff, but yet he was still empty. Amen. Elvis Presley. I've been to Graceland. I've been on that jet plane. I'm talking about, man, that's some of the coolest stuff. I like that. Well, it got quiet there. Man, it's cool. Go to Graceland, go in the jungle room, man. He had it all. I said he had it all. But there's something empty down inside here. Fell dead on the toilet full of drugs. Running from God. Brother John Jenkins read an article from Time magazine the year Elvis Presley died by Priscilla Presley, his wife. He read it verbatim at White Oak when we were there. They asked Priscilla what his problem was. I can't quote it verbatim, but basically was this. She said he was miserable because he never fulfilled the will of God in his life. You can't be saved and do any way you want. Let me say it one more time. You can't be saved and do any way you want. It'll take your happiness and run it down the road. And you'll start trying to find it in this, and you'll try to find it in that. You'll try to find it in this, and you'll try to find it in that. But down inside your heart, you know right exactly where it is. Jason Shipp stood in my driveway several years ago, cried like a baby. He said, all my joy and all my happiness was gone. I said, Jason, when was the happiest time in your life? And this is not embarrassing him. I know he don't mind. It's a testimony. He said, when I was in church and living for God, he said, I'll never forget those days.
Amen.
All you had to do is get back on the meds, wasn't it, bud? Does it still work?
Amen.
Still work.
Amen.
He said, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Wow. You ever seen people who truly were happy with nothing?
Amen.
Y'all listening? Truly happy with nearly nothing. You ever looked at people and judged them and thought, what are they so happy about? My car's nicer than theirs. Maybe they're not motivated by stuff like we are. Maybe they don't care what their house is worth. Maybe they don't care whether or not their clothes come from Walmart or Dillard's. I know he's not a godly guy, but I watched him interview that Larry the Cable Guy on TV. The dude makes over $500,000 a show. Can you imagine that? To act a fool. I believe he's saved. He dropped out of Bible college. He said so on that show. He was going to preach the gospel. They said, why do you wear such poor clothes? Is this just part of your character? He said, no. He said, I refuse to wear anything that don't come from Walmart. He said, I don't want money to change me. I ain't saying he's right with God. Don't quote me on that. But I like his philosophy. Just because I got $1 million in the bank, I'm still living on the same hog farm I grew up on. I still buy brand new flannel shirts and wax sleeves out of them. Amen. Some of us, if we got $1 million, you probably wouldn't even talk to us no more. It's the truth, ain't it? Oh, I've had them tell me, oh, Brother Eddie, you pray I get this settlement. I get this settlement, I'm going to help the church out. I hear through the grapevine they got the settlement and they're gone. What happened with that settlement? What happened with the help? Where's the love? Y'all okay? Money can't buy it. Money can't buy it. I love that part that he said, there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Little is much when God is in it. I'm not telling you to sell your car tonight. I'm not telling you to sell your house tonight. I'm just saying, quit trying to make yourself happy with that stuff. Are you listening? Love on a bus kid, that'll make you rich. Lead somebody to Christ, that'll make you rich. That's money in the bank right there, boys. Amen. That's laying up treasure somewhere else. I don't care what happens to the banks down here, they can all fall under. It won't affect that. Amen. There's medicine for a cheerful countenance. There's medicine for ceasing of greediness. There's medicine for words of the right spirit. Look at Proverbs chapter number 15. Boy, we need this one bad. Y'all need to double up on this. Double dose. I'm talking about, you can't OD on it, by the way. You can't, let me say it again, you can't OD on it. There's no danger of taking too much. How much should I take, preacher? All you can handle. Amen. I remember one preacher made this statement years ago and changed my life. I was always, when I first got saved, they said, you got to read your Bible through every year. You got to read your Bible through. Well, when I first got saved, I wasn't up to that level of reading the whole Bible through in a year. I wasn't there. And I heard a preacher say something. He said, somebody asked me, how much should I read? He said, how much do you eat? Amen. Eat till you get full. Yeah. How much of this medicine should I take? Take it till you feel better. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You do that, some of this stuff they're prescribing over the counter today, I believe these doctors are getting kickbacks. I believe they are. I believe the pharmaceutical company says, the more of this you can push, the more we're going to send you to the Bahamas and Tahiti. And oh, yeah. They wouldn't give it to these people that ought not to be taking it. Well, I'd like to harp on that for about an hour. Proverbs chapter 15. Look at verse number 1 and 2. Proverbs chapter 15. Watch this. A soft answer turneth away what? Wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge. All right, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Look at that first verse again. A soft answer turneth away wrath. This is good medicine. Have you ever had a Let's try to think of a nice word to call it. A confrontation with your wife. Look at me, man. She raises her voice. What do you do? You raise your voice to the level of hers. That's how arguments start out down here, and they escalate. She gets louder, you get louder. Now she's got to be louder than you. Now you got to get up there with her. And she says, stop yelling at me. I'm not yelling. I hadn't raised my voice to you one time. I've said it. I'm not yelling at you. Well, who are you yelling at? I'm the only one in the room. You schizophrenic? Is your other self in here too? Amen. Amen. Hayden, our grandson, was at the house a while back. It was just me and him. And Katie kept playing this prank phone call on me. And I finally figured out what was going on. It's some kind of deal. You can do it on a cell phone, and it's another voice, and it pauses right. Y'all know what I'm talking about? This guy will say, what are you doing calling my wife? And it pauses long enough for you to say, I ain't called your wife. Oh, yes, you did. I mean, it's just like you're talking to a human being, but it's a recording. And she had sent me about four different ones of those, and I've called on to it by now. And I answered the phone. I said, shut up, you idiot. And I hung up, and Hayden said, calm down, Papa. Just calm down. He said, it'll be all right. You know what he'd learn? When he gets all high strung and been out of shape, Mom and Daddy says, calm down. Calm down. You'll diffuse the situation a whole lot quicker with a calm, sincere voice. You get nowhere by yelling. By the way, Sunday school teachers, listen to me. Bus workers, listen to me. You'll get a whole lot further by being calm than screaming and yelling. You know what them kids have heard all week long? Screaming and yelling. Ain't no telling how many times a week Brother Daniel gets called out in them neighborhoods to domestic, the husband and wife violence. I can't say it, I'll change it, amen. I can't, domestic violence. Is that right? Over and over and over, things just out of hand, out of sorts. Y'all with me? Them kids live in screaming and hollering all week long. They go to school, they're screamed and hollered at. That's the only defense our poor old teachers have in America now. They used to could knock a dog out of you, amen? I remember my second grade teacher getting me up in front of class doing my hand like that and wearing a ruler out. You ever had that done? That hurts like a devil, son. Amen. They take you in the office, get a board out, bend you over, and light you up. Now all only recourse they got is to holler at you. Sit down, shut up, be quiet. Rah, 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 rah. That don't help. That don't help. You look at a teenage girl of a woman who screams and hollers in the house all the time. We've had them in school. You know what them girls do? Scream and holler. I know, I want to yell too. That's why I preach, amen. I want to yell too. I want to pitch a hissy fit too. But it don't get you nowhere. Y'all know I'm right. Y'all know I'm right. You'll diffuse the situation if you'll just calm down. Amen. And try to give a soft answer, because it'll turn away wrath. You'll calm somebody down real quick. Amen. By the way, even some of these bus kids who are strung out on this medicine, we've seen them. They come in here, our eyes that big around. And sometimes they go nuts on us. You know, best thing you can do is try to hold that kid. Tell them you love them. We don't have to act like this. Amen. By the way, that's your only recourse. And the only time you do that is when they are out of control. You touch them at no other time. But if you'll stop the yelling, I promise you, it'll get better. How do you know? It's Bible. That's not psychology, that's Bible. Amen, we okay? Some of y'all just ain't getting it, are you? Look at Proverbs chapter 15. Look at verse number 23. Proverbs 15, verse number 23. I'm really struggling seeing. I'm going to get these eyeballs out. The Bible said a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. And a word spoken in due season, how good is it? How about that? Look at chapter 16, verse 24. Just go down there and look at some of these. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healeth or in health to the bones. How about that? What are you saying? Take some medicine, change the way you talk. Take some medicine. Sometimes, I don't want to tell too much, but sometimes in my office, I've had to be referee. I've had to jump up across my desk and between two people and say, ho. Calm down. They come in the office, they think Brother Eddie's going to be on my side. 9 times out of 10, I'm just going to load your wagon while you're here. I'm not on nobody's side. I'm on this side. Amen. I'm forgetting y'all to calm down, quit screaming and yelling at each other. We all right? It's medicine for a cheerful countenance. There's medicine for curing greediness. There's medicine to give you words and the right spirit. There's medicine to give you the ability to receive instruction. You know the problem in America? Nobody's listening. Nobody is listening. It goes in one ear and out the other. Now listen, I'm not all that. Brother Charles is not all that. Brother Freddie's not all that. But we can help you. And I don't mean that. Does that sound arrogant? We can help you if you listen. Have you ever seen your children do something stupid and get hurt after you've told them? Come on. Don't do that. They do it. Y'all know what a floor furnace is? Anybody ever grow up one of them? My grandmother had a floor furnace, and it had a little square hose in it. It looked like a waffle iron. She said, don't step on that, it'll burn your feet. Ain't no telling how many times I had the imprint of that grill on my... Oh, yeah, you find out. Don't touch it, it's hot. Psst. You got to know. Why don't you just listen? Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 13. Boy, we might be fixed to get some rain. Proverbs 13, verse number 13. Y'all looking at it? I am, but I can't see it. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. How about that? Verse number 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Listen to me. I looked around in that funeral home today and I saw lives that were literally in shambles. I don't have to know them. I can tell by the looks on their faces. I can see them old cheekbones drawn in, all them old craters in their face, all them rotten teeth. Every one of them grew up on the buckle of the Bible belt right here. What happened? Their lives are a mess because they didn't hear the instruction. Somebody told them somewhere along the way, drugs ain't good. Say no to drugs. We've all heard that. Somebody told you. Y'all okay? What's happened? We're not listening to instruction. Somebody who knows better than us has tried to help us along the way. But we're not listening. Wonder how much trouble we'd have missed if we'd have listened. How much junk we'd have stayed out of if we'd have listened. How stupid are we? Some of us raised up in godly homes. Brother Allen, Daddy could quote the Bible to you backwards. But yet when he was a teenager, he got out doing dope, being stupid. Could have ruined his life. Thank God. God rescued him. problem is we despise the instruction. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. They're pitching a fit now. I mean, pitching a stinking fit. What county is it? They've outlawed the busting the sag. Oh, that's their rights. No, it ain't. Amen. Ain't your right. It's my wife's right not to have to look at your dirty drawers. Amen. Amen. What's the matter? It's rebellion. Amen. Rebellion is still as the sin of witchcraft. It's the fact that nobody wants to be told what to do. Here's the bottom line. You will be told. You will be told. It's like the boy in our old building. He said, it's honest. It's the words that came out of his mouth. He said, Brother Eddie, I'm tired of everybody telling me what to do. I'm joining the army. I said, that's a good idea. They will pick out your underwear for you. They'll pick out your socks for you. They'll pick out your shoes for you. They'll pick out your pants, your shirt, your hat. They'll tell you where to sleep, when to get up, when to... Oh, yeah. Join the army, son. That'll help you. Amen. You'll enjoy yourself. You have all kind of freedom. Go for it. Ain't nobody telling me what to do. If you don't allow somebody to tell you what to do here, it'll be in a courthouse. Brother Daniel and Brother Todd, they probably have to clamp them things down on some young kid just about every night who had the attitude. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. You listening? Chase told me he works at the Paulding County Jail. I'm sure they have it in Carroll County, too, a chair. They have a chair. That bunch gets so wild and crazy, they strap them in that chair and they can't move. What you going to do now? What you going to do when the gavel falls? Amen. Somebody will tell you what to do. Amen. The ticket is don't despise the instruction now. Amen. Y'all okay? What's the last one I read? 13, 18. Look at 15. Y'all, we still doing okay? Amen. Look at 15 in verse number 5. Watch this. Now listen to me, boys. Hey. Y'all pay good attention to me right over here. Right over here, right down here in this front row, all these young boys. I want y'all to listen. Listen real good. The Bible said a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Y'all look at me real good. This ain't Brother Eddie. This is the Bible. This is the Lord. This is not the preacher. But God said, if you don't do what your daddy said, you're a fool. You jacked up too high for crutches. You're crazy. God give you a good daddy and you don't obey. You listening? I'd have gave $1 million to have what some of you have. I didn't have a relationship with my daddy until I was in my early 40s. Y'all all right? I'd like to know if he'd have been around, I'd listen to it. I remember one time when I was little. I wasn't really little. I was probably my early teens. I had a 1973 Gibson Les Paul Studio. If you know anything about guitars, that's high dollar. Me and my daddy sat down on the edge of his bed. Daddy had just got through practicing with his band, and he's playing his guitar. I said, Dave, you show me that lick. He said, son, you don't need to fool with this. I said, Dad, I want to learn how to play. He said, son, you need to seek something else. He said, it's okay to learn how to play the guitar, but don't make a life out of it. He said, son, it ain't no life. He said, we're where we are because of this. That always stood in the back of my head. Amen. We were at Daddy's one day and there were some other folks around. And I just pick around, beat around. Somebody made the statement. They said, Eddie, it looks like you got it too. And Daddy chimed in and said, no, he's got something better. I'm glad I'm not pursuing that tonight.
Amen.
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 That's the truth.
Yes, sir. Amen, brother. Yes.
I'd rather be standing where I'm at tonight, doing what I'm doing.
Amen, brother.
Amen, sir. Yes, sir.
Than playing lead guitar for the greatest name in country.
That's right.
Yeah, amen. Yes, sir.
You listening?
Yes, sir.
I'm going home tonight and sleep with my wife in the same bed. My children have never had to visit me every other weekend. Something about what he said that day, I've never forgotten it. It's okay to play, son. Don't try to make a life out of it. Y'all okay? Maybe that was just personal for me tonight. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. If anybody knew what he was talking about that day, it was my dad. He knew exactly what he was talking about. Can I give you another look at verse number 10? Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that heareth reproof or hateth reproof shall die. Boy, it's just full of it, isn't it? Look at verse number 20. I know y'all, some of y'all are done, but I'm not. The Bible said, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Look at verse number 32, same chapter. Watch this. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Y'all think I'm just preaching to the kids tonight, but this is for all of us. You know what he said? When you despise the instruction, you're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself.
Amen.
Do you know what I honestly thought in high school? Brother Jay Bice, he was my principal. I despised math. I've got addition down pat, subtraction down pat, and pretty fair with division. How could I ever need any more than that? So I cheated and skated my way through algebra. I ain't never going to need that stuff. I'm going to be a construction worker. I know what my plot in life is.
Come on, brother.
I've done been working summers with the plumbers in our home church. I'm going to be a plumber. Man, they make good money. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I did. Went to go get my plumbing license. Guess what you got to have to pass that test? Anybody know? Algebra. And I remember Jay saying, Doc, you're going to need that. Nah, I don't need that. Boy, I could hear them words looking at that test going, uh-oh. You know what I'd do? I had to go and pay and take some classes. Amen. I'm telling you, you're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. When we preach to you, we're not up here just because we ain't got nothing better to do. Are you listening to me? We're not doing this because we ain't got nothing better to do. Hey, Brother Freddie and Brother Charles might like to sleep in on Sunday morning. But they dig and they study. Man, they prepare to teach you the Word of God. It's not just to waste their breath. It's not that they like to hear themselves talk. I refuse to listen to myself on CD. I just, every time I do, boy, I thought, you hick, you ought to quit. Stacy said, you ought to hear you on the radio. I don't want to hear me on the radio. And I don't need you to tell me about it either. We're not just up here because we like to hear ourselves. We want to help you.
Amen.
And if we say, look here, fool with this and it'll hurt you, you can pretty well bank on it, it will.
Yeah.
Did I read verse 32? I did.
Yes.
Can I give you a couple more prescriptions right quick? I said there's medicine for a cheerful countenance. There's medicine that's a cure for greediness. There's medicine that'll give you words in the right spirit. There's medicine that'll help you receive instruction. Let me give you one more, maybe two. There's medicine to help you stop the gossip. I don't care who you are, you got a problem with it. Human nature. If you know it, that means it's to be told. I got quiet, real quiet. Proverbs 16, verse number 27. Proverbs 16, verse number 27. Y'all get this stuff. Underline them in your Bible. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. You ever run into anybody, they just won't let it lay? They just won't let it go. They got to dig it up and dig it up and dig it up and dig it up. You need a dose. You need a dose. I know people are still pouting over something that happened 20 years ago. Why don't you bury it and let it stay buried?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Bury it and let it stay buried. Let's see. Proverbs 16, look at verse number 28. The Bible said, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. That's the truth, isn't it? 17 and verse number 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. How about that? But he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. Wow. Listen to me carefully. You don't have to tell me everything.
Amen.
You listening? I don't want to know all your faults. Do you understand that? I'm not a Catholic priest. I don't have a closet with a divided closet with a knot hole in it. You come tell me all your sins.
Amen.
I don't tell you all mine.
Amen.
Amen. Some people just think you got to know. Oh, brother, I just think you need to know. Some things I do. And if you had any discernment and judgment about you, you'd know what I need to know and what I don't.
Yeah.
If you'd pray about something before you open that mouth. I'm saying this in the right spirit. We're okay. Amen. How many times have you ever told something you knew as soon as you said it, I should have kept that to myself? I've had people get mad and leave the church because somebody repeated something about them. You know why they repeated it? You told them. Put your sin on Facebook. It's going to be talked about. Can I say that again? If you don't want it told, keep it off the internet. If you put it on the internet, we have the right. Y'all all right? If it's on the internet, it's world news. Why not tell somebody else? Did you hear so-and-so did such-and-such? Well, that's gossip. Not if you put it on the internet, it ain't. You put a picture of yourself doing something stupid, we're telling it. You say, does that make it right? Sure, it does. You deserve it.
Amen.
Y'all nod your head.
Yes,
you don't want it told, keep it to yourself.
Amen.
When you see your brother's fault, you're a better friend to him by keeping that to yourself.
Amen.
Than you are sharing it with somebody else.
Amen.
There's no bluegrass song. It said, if you are my brother, don't go tell another, but go and tell Jesus on me.
Amen.
That's just old mountain wisdom right there.
Amen.
If you really love me, tell Jesus about it. He can handle it. Amen. But usually when you tell it to somebody else, you're just hurting them too. Amen.
That's right.
Whew. It'll stop gossip. Chapter 17, verse number 6. There's a medicine to help you love your family. Children's children are the crown of old men. And the glory of children are their fathers. I'm afraid we're living in a day. I'm going to say this carefully. Where families love in word only. They don't spend no time together. Daddy don't care what the kids are doing as long as they're not in his hair. We okay? I'm going to tell you something. It changed the relationship with my son. Forever. We took off a week one year. Just me and him. Went deer hunting. I don't know if he'd agree to it or not, but our relationship ain't been the same since. He got to know me. I got to know him. He says, he's your son. He's been in your house all your life. Yeah, I know. Boy, you spend some time with each other, you get close. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Perfect timing, son. Let me give you one more. Proverbs chapter 15. Most of y'all have already took this dose. You don't ever have to take it again. But there may be some here tonight who still hadn't taken their medicine. And I can't find my verse. Give me just a second. Here it is. Verse 24. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. There's a medicine to give you a cheerful countenance. There's a medicine that'll help you to overcome greediness. There's a medicine that'll help you have words in the right spirit. There's a medicine that will help you to receive instruction. There's a medicine that'll help you stop the gossip from your mouth. There's a medicine to help you love your family. There's a medicine to help you escape from hell. Guaranteed every time. You know the thing about this medicine? Y'all noticed how many medicine commercials are on TV? Y'all noticed that? I mean, just medicine, medicine, medicine. And I was wondering the other day, and I don't know if this is the case, but I was wondering if it's because I watch so much TV that old people watch. You know what I mean? I mean, I watch Bonanza. Andy Griffith. Half the commercials on there about suing somebody and AARP, insurance for people over 65. I thought, I'm watching old people TV is what it is. But every one of those pills they advertise, they talk about how wonderful it is. They show people floating through fields of flowers. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, seriously, I'm not trying to be funny. I mean, it's like, man, ask your doctor about. Yeah. Then it says at the very end, results may vary. Yeah. It just may not work well for every patient. Then it gives possible side effects. Yeah. High blood pressure, hypertension, case of heart attack. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Stroke, upset stomach, headaches, diarrhea, bloating, vomiting. I'm like, man, I'd rather be depressed. Seriously. I mean, you get a list of side effects, it's like, my soul, man. That'll kill you. Yeah, that'll stop depression. Heart attack will do it every time. Amen. I'm talking about a medicine tonight that results don't vary. It works the same for everyone who'll take it. Doesn't matter your size, your age, your weight. If you're lost, you take the gospel. It'll save you. Amen. Are you off your meds tonight? Are you off your meds tonight? Is things getting a little wacky in your life again? You know the answer, and Brother Eddie don't even have to tell you. Get the old bottle back out. It ain't even got to have a child. It don't even have a child-proof top. Amen. I challenge you. If you don't read no more Bible than this, read a chapter in Psalms every day. It'll keep you sweet. It really will. It'll help your spirit. And read a chapter in Proverbs. Every day. Try that for a while. Remember what the doctors used to say? Take two of these and call me in the morning. Take those two and call me in a month. You don't think you say, no, it don't work. Yeah, it does. You know it. It does work and you know it. Give God a try. Give God a try. The answer's not in them commercials.
Amen.
I'm not against medicine that helps people, but the answer's not in them commercials. I believe half the problems in America, there's not a pill for. All a pill is cover-up.
Yeah.
Amen. All Advil is a cover-up. As soon as it wears off, my sinuses hurt again.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Try it out. Take your medicine. You know what? Y'all are just like some of you. As a pastor, I feel like some of you are just like my grandson. He spent the night with us, been a while back, maybe a year or so ago. He was sick. And he had to have this medicine every night. He couldn't breathe. He's like Joshua. He had bad bronchial tubes and all that asthma. And my wife and I, here's this kid, weighs 30 pounds, 40 maybe. I'm 165.8 now. I'm getting fat. Did y'all know that? Her and I together cannot hold that child down and put that medicine in his mouth. I'm talking about brute force. It's on the pillow. It's on the sheet. And little does he know what is fighting him, what he's fighting so hard will help him sleep through the night.
Amen.
What he's kicking against so hard will give him a good night's sleep.
Amen.
And what you don't know is what you're kicking against so hard will help you sleep through the night too.
Amen.
Quit fighting. Just open your mouth and take your medicine. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Sister Janice, are you back there? Brother Tommy, how about come playing for me?